Alexander Pushkin has been called the father of Russian literature, and yet there's never been a full modern English translation of all of his prose. That is, of course, until now. The latest work of translators Richard Prevere and Larisa Volokhansky is the complete Novels, Tales, and Journeys of Alexander Pushkin, published by Knopf. The translators have been awarded the Penn Book of the Month Club Translation Prize twice, and I'm delighted to welcome them back to our show now. Hello.
Hello. Very good
Hello.
To be here again.
Thank you for having us.
One of you is a poet. The other studied mathematical linguistics and theology. How did you end up translating the Russian canon?
Well, I was very interested in Russian literature. And then I married a Russian woman. And then we were once simultaneously reading the same book. And my wife kept saying, how did they translate this? Because I didn't know Russian. And she would look and see, I see they didn't translate it.
Which book are we talking about?
This was The Brothers Karamazov, first book.
It was 30 years ago.
So I suddenly, this little light went on in my head. I thought, what did they leave out? You know, and I discovered they left out a whole dimension of his work then.
And you, the last time you were here, we talked about your process, which seems to be that Larisa does a literal translation and then hands it to you, and you say, no, no, and then the two of you have to fight over what gets in and what doesn't get in.
We never fight.
Oh, sorry.
We illuminate.
Come to an agreement.
We illuminate each other.
We discuss. We discuss. I try to make my translation as close to the original as possible with all kinds of pointing out the nuances, the irregularity, the interesting syntax, interesting word, there's some slang word, and then Richard takes...
Or mixed cliches or modified cliches. It looks like a cliche but isn't.
But then you also have to capture the spirit of the
exactly,
language.
Yeah.
The voice of the original.
This is a sort of mystical thing. It's very hard to define what that is.
You've translated Dostoevsky, Chekhov, Tolstoy, writers who are fairly well known to English readers. But that's not really the case with Pushkin. Is it because he's best known as a great poet and poetry is difficult to translate from Russian to English?
Well, it is partly that, yes. He's, it's difficult, and yet, look, his masterpiece, Yevgeny Onegin, has recently been translated maybe five or six times by different poets in rhyming versions, and so they keep trying, they keep doing it.
But it seems like most of these books defy translation. What's the problem in translating Russian into English? The Russians, I've had Russians tell me that Shakespeare is much better in Russian than he is in English.
Yeah, they improve it. Yeah.
No, no, it's not. It's not that. Actually, I think that poetry most of the time is untranslatable. Really good. The languages are really different.
You know, every language, would French poetry translate better into English than Russian poetry?
No.
It's all difficult.
Yeah.
No, Pushkin's poetry is so perfect. It's so bound to the Russian language that when it's transposed into English language, it may be the same rhythm, the same rhyme, the same, like, Onegin's stanza, which is very complex, very hard to convey. It's still not Pushkin. When we read Pushkin, is perfect. And you can't translate perfection.
So what about the prose?
Yes, the prose. The interesting thing with Pushkin was he said he based his prose work very, very consciously. Although he wrote poetry by inspiration, he worked on prose very consciously, and he kept saying, prose is the opposite of poetry. And he made his prose as unpoetic as he could. And it's stylistically, the great thing in it is it's a perfect simplicity of wording.
and terseness. His prose is very terse. There, you can't take away anything, you can't add anything, because actually it's very interesting that early 19th century French translators of Pushkin, Mérimée translated Pushkin's prose. He added things to it. He embellished it because to his mind he was too simple.
The Soviet poet Yevgeny Yevtushenko, I guess the former Soviet, and he's still alive, once wrote that translation is like a woman. If it's beautiful, it's not faithful. If it's faithful, it is most certainly not beautiful.
Well, that's a nice phrase. You know, you can do the real benefit of translation to the language of arrival is doing new things in English that are new because you're translating from Russian. They have to be rather natural sounding, but at the same time, the translating, the act of translating, enriches the language that of arrival, the English, in other words. This quality of Pushkin's prose, which is a sort of classical prose written in Romantic period, you know, is very instructive for English writers, I think.
He wrote before the other people you've translated.
Yes. He was really the history of Russian language and the formation of the Russian literary language, let's say, was very recent compared to English or French or German. It really was Pushkin who created the literary language of Russia, both in poetry and in prose.
So did he influence Dostoevsky, Tolstoy,
absolutely,
Chekhov?
Absolutely, yeah. And Gogol. He knew Gogol.
He even gave him the topic of the dead souls.
And the nose, yes.
Sales of Anna Karenina skyrocketed after Oprah chose your translation for her book club. Do you remember that moment and how you felt about it? Larisa, I've heard that you hadn't heard of Oprah before she chose the book.
No. We got the phone call at our editor at Knopf, at Random House.
Penguin, excuse me.
It was Penguin, right.
Our editor
called us and said, I only heard Richard's, our side of the conversation. I heard Richard say, 900,000 copies. I said, 900,000. 1,000 copies of what? And Richard said, of Anna Karenina. I said, why, what's that? And he said, Oprah, and I had no idea who Oprah was.
Well, no, our editor called and said, I loved telling you guys this because you won't understand it. And I said, well, try. And she said, who is Oprah Winfrey? And I said, I think she's a country western singer.
Well, sales had been around 20,000. Yeah. Previous translations.
Yeah, they had done pretty well. Well, the Anna did pretty well, too.
Well, Anna Karenina is a book that's been read by millions over the years in many different translations. So have any number of novels by Dostoevsky. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to keep on translating them? In the case of Pushkin, he hasn't been translated as much.
Not as much, but although when you start looking, you find that he has been, but they don't notice it so much. Tolstoy and Dostoevsky really entered into Western literature from way back, almost from the time when they were still writing. But why translate? Well, it's the thing is that there's one original, and then each generation enters into a relation to that original, and you start seeing differently or hearing differently. You see different things. And it doesn't mean that you change the book, but you change some sort of emphasis in your own the language.
There is this dialogue with the present-day culture.
Which is a very healthy thing.
But also, I think that ideal translations don't exist. Good translations exist and may even live for a very long time, but the ideal translation don't exist. And if the book keeps getting retranslated, it's a it testifies to the interest. It means that the text is alive. The people want to read it and want to read it again and again.
So when we return to a favorite book that's been translated, should we just go to a different translation each time?
Well, I think there are two ways to do that. We were just talking about that on the way here. That one thing, I know that when I read something in a translated from a language I don't know, I tend to hold on to the first translation that I've read, because if it affects me, it affects me strongly, and that effect is connected with that translation.
And many people remember Dostoevsky from his first translator, mm-hmm. who wrote wonderful English prose.
Yeah.
Now I've forgotten her name. Is
that Garnett? Constance Garnett.
Yeah, Constance Garnett.
Or Garnett is how they say in England.
And but then many people came along and said, "No, we have to fix it. We have to keep on doing it." Constance Garnett is the translation that most resonates in my mind. But mm-hmm. yeah. Did I not get everything?
Well, yeah, she translated very well. She's probably the best of all the original translators of these books. With Dostoevsky, and this is what we discovered when we were first reading together, there's a whole realm of art, of play, of joking with language, of stylistic humor, which she didn't understand. She just left it out. So that Americans and English readers have this idea of a dark, obsessed, morbid Dostoevsky, and they miss the fact that the style gives wings to it, brightens it, enlightens it completely. And this is what we discovered in translating him. It makes him look as if he's clumsy, because he never writes in his own voice. Tolstoy always wrote in his own voice, which is also can be rather crude and clumsy, but Dostoevsky always dramatizes his narrator as well as his character, so that there is no fixed authoritative point of view.
And it's been said that Constance Garnett is the reason that Americans can't tell the difference between Tolstoy and Dostoevsky. Yeah. Tolstoyevsky. In the case of Pushkin, now you have are all of these pieces translated again, or have some of them, are some of them for the first time?
I don't know if some maybe
no, these complete
they
prose
all,
works.
They all have been translated.
Some of the fragments. Probably
some
were
of
not.
Them were translated several times, and some of them were translated only once, like the Journey to Arzrum, which is a wonderful traveling notes by Pushkin, and the book is unavailable. Was translated many years ago and by Ardis Publishers, and is not available. We thought it was worth including it. Then some fragments that are very little known. We just wanted to collect them together under the same cover.
Under 500 pages, we have novels, tales, and journeys, mm-hmm. according to your title. So did he write brief novels?
Yes. Well, if you the only finished novel is The Captain's Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It is an absolute masterpiece, but it's very short. It's 110 pages, I think. That's the longest thing he wrote, except for Onegin. But I don't know. Everyone who reviews it, I remember. There was a wonderful reviewer who wrote for Hudson Review named Marvin Mudrick, who picked it up in a collection of Pushkin's prose and read it. And he said, "My God, this is the best novel I've ever read." And it's very impressive that way. And yet it's absolutely simple. And his heroes are absolutely ordinary. That's the beauty of Pushkin.
Now, Larisa, you grew up, of course, reading Russian. So did you read all of these pieces by Pushkin just in the normal course of...
I was very young when I grew up with Pushkin. And it's very hard to explain what it is. I think the most important thing, not important, but it's impossible to explain why, what it is about him that makes us Russians love him so much. I think one of the qualities of his prose and poetry is its harmony. You know, when you read Pushkin, you are both, you laugh and you weep, and it makes you happy. And it's not because he portrays a happy world. His world has evil in it. His world has treason in it, cruelty, even wickedness. But somehow there is also light in it. It's about qualities that it's very hard to talk about. There is wisdom, there is honor, there is gratitude, there is mercy. It's all there, and it makes one, you read it and you are happy.
And then there's the musicality of the prose. When you are doing a translation, do you just try to do a musicality of English prose, or is there some way to capture the dusha, the Russian soul in his work?
I try to capture that, yes, and even that's the most difficult thing to define and to capture. But I try to listen to what happens in the Russian, and I try to follow it. I try to see how it's brought about, how it's made to happen.
Well, in the case
and I
of
follow his words very carefully.
In the case of English to French or French to English, of course, we share many words. But how many words do Russian and English share? Not too many?
Not too many. There are some Latin roots for some Russian words. But it's not that. It's the, I think the rhythm, the syntax of the prose, the simple phrases that Pushkin uses. Just as in Tolstoy, he sometimes, you know, he has a, in War and Peace, there's one sentence that goes for two pages of perfectly rhetorical, suspended clauses. And he was very proud of that. He once said, I used every device in the old Latin grammars. So it wasn't unconscious. He did it on purpose.
There is another stylistic property to Pushkin's prose. It's very simple, but it's never banal. So when you translate it, you have to avoid the temptation to fall into just flatness, to cliches. It's very simple, but it's very fresh. And it's not odd. It's not strange, like with Dostoevsky or Tolstoy. Very often, there is odd things happening. Not with Pushkin. It's ordinary, but it's not flat. It's somehow you have to make it.
It's completely alive.
Alive.
Well, you've given us the complete prose of Pushkin. There's still a lot of Tolstoy, for example, short fiction like Life and Death of Ivan Ilyich, Resurrection, etc., to be retranslated. Is that where you're going next?
We did Ivan Ilyich.
Ah,
we did a
one
collection.
Of my favorites.
Yeah. We did a collection of his short prose. I think we're more or less, we've done all of Tolstoy that we're going to do. We would like to do more Leskov, but since he's not known, people don't know him, and so it's very hard to get people interested in him.
Richard Pevere and Larisa Volchansky will be at the 92nd Street Y tomorrow night at 8, where they'll be answering questions and signing books. Then on Monday the 12th, they'll be at McNally-Jackson Bookstore at 52 Prince Street at 7 p.m. Their latest translation, Novels, Tales, Journeys of Alexander Pushkin from Knopf. Thank you both so much.